say, can they be that close? Just let me stay for the record. We're giving love.
Welcome to On This Day, the show where I talk about all of the weird things which happened on this day in history. My name is Malin Hay, which rhymes with day. I am the host of this show, the regular host of this show. No changes to the lineup here. But actually, this will be a rather unusual episode because, in fact, I'm not really going to be talking about the weird things that happened on this day, and I will explain why now. Well, guys, basically, this week has been pretty stressful for me. I am 2 weeks away from my dissertation, master's dissertation deadline. And my draft is due, well, I've now managed to get the deadline pushed back to Friday, but the deadline was meant to be tomorrow. And I'm currently on about half a draft. It's meant to be a 15,000 word dissertation. I think I'm around 7,500 right now. So there's that. Then also an hour ago to the minute, we discovered that someone in my house has been in contact with people that have COVID. So we may have to self-isolate for the next 2 weeks, which I will actually say started out in my head as like a really terrifying prospect. Like, oh my God, it's going to be the worst thing ever. Don't want to self-isolate. Started thinking about it, realized, well, first of all, it's the 2 weeks before my dissertation hand in. So I would literally be coming out of isolation the day before I hand in my dissertation. So what else would I be doing in that time other than literally just sitting in my room? And also, quite a lot of the things about self-isolation seem quite nice to me. Not having to go out and see people, somebody else doing all my shopping for me, getting to stay inside and watch the nanny on kind of bingy repeat. So, you know, there are bright sides, there are silver linings to every cloud, and I think we can all come through this if we all just, I was going to say hold hands and, you know, breathe in deeply, but let's not be holding hands, because if my housemate does have COVID, I really don't want to catch it off her. So that's what's been happening in my life this week, and so I haven't really had time to plan a proper episode with like proper writing of script and reading out of things, because I'll pull back the curtain a bit and tell you that it actually takes quite a long time to plan these episodes. Usually I leave a whole day aside to do it, and it takes probably a good 5 hours or something to kind of do all of the different bits. So didn't have time to do that this time. So it's going to be a very music heavy episode. So we're basically going to deep dive into all of the classics, and really actually not classics. Like, these are not classic songs, I would say. Some are, most aren't, that were at the top of the charts on this day in history. And for the first time ever this week, I have delved into the British charts, which are actually quite different from the American charts. I think I should have started looking at them earlier, because they tend to have slightly more unusual songs on them, like a bit more wacky, weird stuff, and kind of, well, you'll see. So we'll have a kind of special trip over to England at one point in the show. But here are some of the things that I could have talked about today. Today in 1311 was the day of the unveiling of Duccio's Maya Star, which is like one of the most famous, I think, frescoes. It may be a painting, I'm not sure. Now I'm thinking painting. I should probably have looked this up before. In Sicily. Or I could have talked about the first Trans-Pacific flight by Charles Kingsford Smith in 1928. Or this is also the date that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, aka the Mormon Church, opened its doors to black men in what year? 1978. It's also Donald Duck Day, Rosé Day, and Love Your Burial Ground Week. So everybody go and love your burial ground. It's actually quite easy to love your burial ground in Cambridge, because there's loads of really nice cemeteries here. Like, most of the parks are cemeteries, actually. Today is also the day that Charles Dickens died, so if I'd had more energy, I could maybe have done a kind of special episode on Charles Dickens or something, but sorry, it's not going to happen. So, without further ado, I think we're going to begin with our music, and I'm going to start by playing some kind of... I'm going to try and group them into sections, and there is one song that I'm going to talk about a little bit more than the others, but I'm going to start with some R&B hits from the 60s and 70s.
What you got to say? in a gang show. I always wanted to get into a band, to sing my songs, and then become a bad piano playing man. So here I am in this Hollywood city, the city of the stars, movies, women, and cars. Well, I guess I guess I'll stop.
Sharing this one and only life, ending up just another lost and lonely wife. You count up the years and they will be filled with tears. Love only breaks up to start over again. You'll get the babies, but you won't have your man.
was, of course, Candy Staten singing Young Hearts Run Free, which was the number one on the R&B charts on the 9th of June 1976. And before that, we heard Hollywood Swinging by Kool and the Gang, which was R&B number one on the 9th of June 1974. And before that, James Brown singing It's a Man's 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 World, which peaked at number one on the 9th of June 1966. I realised while I was listening to the Kool and the Gang song that for this entire time, and that includes last week when I also played a song by Kool and the Gang, I had Kool and the Gang mixed up with Casey and the Sunshine Band. And I looked them up and realised that's very embarrassing for a number of reasons. But yeah, so those three songs, R&B charters. And now we're going to move on to something that I'm going to call our protest song section, although as we'll discover, neither of these songs are protest songs. Today, the 9th of June, was the day that Bob Dylan received an honorary doctorate in music from Princeton University in 1970. And it's kind of interesting, actually, that he won this accolade, because if you're somebody who's interested in this, in the kind of controversy that arose when he was given the Nobel Prize in Literature, when people were kind of arguing, well, he's not a poet, he's a musician, so why is he being given this prize? Well, the doctorate that he got, I think I just mentioned this, I can't remember. Anyway, it was in music, and the musicologist Arthur Mendel, this like famous American musicologist, wrote to Princeton protesting and saying that the degree should have been in literature. So obviously he just can never do the right thing. And so coincidentally, today is also the day where Bob Dylan managed to get his song Leopard Skin Pillbox Hat to its highest peak in the charts, and I'm going to be playing it now.
Skin pillbox hat. Yes, I see you got your brand new leopard skin pillbox hat. Well, you must tell me, baby, how your head feels under something like that, under your brand new leopard skin pillbox hat. Well, you look so pretty in it. Honey, can I jump on it sometime? Yes, I just wanna see if it's really the expensive kind. You know it balances on your head just like a mattress balances on a bottle of wine. Your brand new leopard skin pillbox hat. Well, if you wanna see the sunrise, see you, but I found him there instead. You know, I don't mind him cheating on me, but I sure wish he'd take that off his head. Your brand new leopard
Bob Dylan with Leopard Skin Pillbox Hat, which hit a impressive total of number 81 on the US Billboard chart on the 9th of June 1967. And actually, funnily enough, I found out that Beck's cover of Leopard Skin Pillbox Hat charted at number 30 on the Canadian charts, so maybe I should have played that one instead because it was obviously far more successful. So Bob Dylan, obviously the face of a kind of 60s, 70s counterculture, but at the same time famously had kind of a vexed relationship with the idea of protest music and kind of turned away from that style of songwriting towards the middle of the 1960s because he sort of saw it as kind of not as authentic or nuanced as the kind of songs that he was trying to write, and kind of then received a sort of backlash from certain, I think once somebody shouted at him in the Albert Hall for not playing a protest song, and he said all of this is protest music. But at the same time, a lot of his lyrics and kind of songs had been reappropriated or at least kind of interpreted in the light of things like the Vietnam War. And so now I'm going to play a song which may not be that familiar to American listeners. I don't know how familiar it would be to even British listeners. I've definitely come across it before, but only in kind of slightly weird context. And again, it's not exactly a protest song, and I think you'll see why, but it also definitely has some kind of relationship to that era. So here we go.
In 1965, Vietnam seemed like just another foreign war. But it wasn't. It was different in many ways, and so were those who did the fighting. In World War II, the average age of the combat soldier was 26. In Vietnam, he was 19. In Vietnam, he was 19. In Vietnam, he was 19. In Vietnam, he was 19.
The heaviest fighting of the past 2 weeks continued today, 25 miles northwest of Saigon.
I wasn't really sure what was going on.
In Vietnam, the combat soldier typically served a 12-month tour of duty, but was exposed to hostile fire almost every day.
Saigon.
Yes, that was Paul Hardcastle's 19. They said it couldn't be done, but by God, he did it. He made a dance track about the Vietnam War. So let's have the song facts about this song and some of the trivia associated therewith. So 19 was released in 1985. So let's be clear, this is with at least 10 years distance from the end of the war. In fact, it was exactly 10 years distance from the end of the war, because one of the things that happened to make this song kind of quite successful was that it coincided with the 10th anniversary of the fall of Saigon. And so Paul Hardcastle, the producer who made the song, was interviewed on TV about it, and then it kind of kicked off. It was a massive hit in the UK. It hit number one. It was number one on the 9th of June 1985, and it was the top-selling single of 1985 in 13 countries. And one of the reasons that it was so successful was because different countries produced a kind of translated version where famous newsreaders in those countries would read the kind of news report part of the song, and it would be kind of dubbed into the song. And this happened in French, Spanish, German and Japanese. And what had happened was basically Hardcastle, let's be clear, he doesn't seem like the kind of guy who thinks that deeply about things. He might have realised that this, like, was not the best idea in the world. Although you could disagree. Like, I mean, I'd be interested in whether people think this is a kind of genuine protest song, because it is quite unusual. But that doesn't necessarily disqualify it from having kind of anti-war themes or anything. But what had happened to him was that he watched a documentary called Vietnam Requiem, which was about the PTSD that was suffered by these vets. And the narration that you hear in the song is sampled from that documentary. It's this guy called Peter Thomas, who was a very prolific voiceover artist for documentaries. And maybe most iconically and famously is the narrator of the TV show Forensic Files. And he, Thomas, this voiceover man, eventually got royalties from the song, because this was in the early days of basically pop sampling, and they hadn't really kind of worked out the legal rules about how to credit people, so they just paid him off basically. And it didn't chart in America, so 13 countries, top selling single of 1985, but didn't even chart at the top in America. And basically Hardcastle later blamed that on the fact that in those days the Billboard charts depended partly on album sales, but also on radio airplay, and a lot of stations refused to play the song because they saw it as anti-American. And meanwhile, in another kind of relatively tone-deaf move, the documentary makers, the ones who'd made this Vietnam Requiem documentary, immediately kind of rushed to make a music video. So they basically recut some of the footage from the documentary, and there's a music video which is basically found footage of Vietnam, and that is the video. And it basically received a huge backlash at the time, because people said, well, this is just so ridiculous, like, this is such a commercial way to kind of use this material, and it's so disrespectful, and da, da, da. But they kind of they responded saying, well, listen, you know, we see it as much of a protest as this documentary. Like, why is this kind of not as worthy, let's say? And a last fact about the song, which kind of just puts a cherry on top of this whole thing, is that the defining piece of dialogue in the song, the part that says that the average age of a combat soldier was 19, has actually basically been disproven, or at least it's hotly disputed. And there seems to be basically no evidence for that fact. It's probably thought that they were slightly older, like maybe around 23. So altogether, a kind of hit and miss hit, and definitely a one-hit wonder. He had never had a top 10 hit before. I don't think he ever had one after that, although he did make a kind of remake of the song about Afghanistan, so you can tell that he's still very attached to this artwork that he made at the time. Okay, so now I'm going to continue with some more music, and we're really going to get into the UK charts now. So we're going to listen to three songs. Two are from the UK charts and one is just a British song that actually didn't reach number one in the UK but did in America. And we're basically going into now the late 70s and the 80s.
Thank you. the rivers of Babylon. There we sat down. Yeah, we wept when we remembered Zion. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yeah, we wept when we remembered Zion.
Let the wicked carry us away in captivity, required from us the song. Now how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange
that was Everybody Wants to Rule the World by Tears for Fears, a British hit which did not make it to number one in the UK, but did make it to number one in the USA. So obviously Americans just love Tears for Fears a bit more, which actually makes sense considering the weird popularity of the song Mad World in the US. I think because it was covered by somebody more recently. But yeah, for some reason, Americans love that song. So I realise I promised three songs and I delivered two. But for reasons of time, I've had to move the last song to the end. So fear not, you will get to hear the third of the three British hits. And the one that we heard before Tears for Fears was Boney M singing The Rivers of Babylon. Babylon? Babylon. Which was a top charting song in the UK in 9th of June 1978. Okay, so it's now time for our weekly segment, Celebrity Birthday Party, where we get to decide, by which I mean I get to decide, who gets birthday beats and who gets to cut the cake. Well, who was born today? So we have Natalie Portman, going backwards in age order, so from the youngest to the oldest, Natalie Portman, Johnny Depp, Aaron Sorkin, creator of The West Wing, and also various films, including The Trial of the Chicago 7. Wow, free publicity. Michael J. Fox, George Stephenson, designer of the first intercity railway in the world, which was the Liverpool and Manchester Railway in the 19th century. And as you can tell, we've done a very big jump in age because there weren't that many people born between Michael J. Fox and George Stephenson who merit my attention. And finally, Peter the Great. So of those people, well, who do I think is going to cut this cake? Well, to be honest, I think it's unlikely to be anybody apart from Peter the Great, simply because he was famously a giant. And I know that because at school I had to do an A-level coursework on him and actually have forgotten everything about him, except that he was famously huge and that he loved dwarves. And the reason I remember that he loved dwarves is because I had a Welsh history teacher who couldn't say the word dwarf and pronounce it dwarf. So he said that he loved dwarves. Mr. Peck, if you're listening, hi. So I think he would cut the cake. And then, to be honest, this seems really unlikely, but I think Michael J. Fox is the one getting birthday beats because he's so tiny. Although maybe it's Aaron Sorkin, actually. That could easily happen, I think. Well, they'll have to fight it out between them. I wonder which one of them's older. Oh, I just told you it was Michael J. Fox, obviously. But I think that may not figure because maybe everybody in the room is so much of a Back to the Future fan but hates The West Wing, so they want to beat up Aaron Sorkin instead. And now we're going to hear two songs from a birthday composer and a birthday singer. So today is also the birthday of Cole Porter, who wrote many, many famous jazz standards of the 1930s and 40s. And I'm going to be playing one of his most famous songs sung by the Andrews Sisters. So if my younger brother Albie is listening, sorry, but this is Begin the Begin by the Andrews Sisters.
When they begin, begin the begin, it brings back the sound of music so tender. It brings back a night of tropical splendor. It brings back a memory evergreen. I'm with you once more, I'm with you under the stars, and down by the shore, an orchestra's playing, and even the palms seem to be swaying, no swaying, when they begin to begin. To live again is past all endeavor, is past all endeavor. Except that tune clutches my heart, and there we are, swearing to love forever, and promising never, never to part. What moments divine with rapture serene, till clouds came along to disperse the joys we had tasted. And now when I hear people curse the chance that was wasted, I know but too well, I know too well what they mean. too well what they mean. So let them begin, begin the begin. Let the love that was once a fire remain an ember. Let it sleep like the dead desire I only remember. When they begin the begin. Oh yes, let them begin the begin, make them play. Till the stars that were there before return above you. Till you whisper to me once more, darling, I love you. And we suddenly know what heaven we're in. When they begin, begin the begin. Begin. Begin, 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 da 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 da, begin the begin.
Love Keeps Lifting Me Higher by Jackie Wilson, who was also born on this day in 1934. And if you don't want to be totally depressed, do not read on Wikipedia about Jackie Wilson's illness and death, as I just did, because it's so sad and so depressing. Well, that brings us to the end of the episode, pretty much. And, you know, once again, apologies that it was a pretty, you know, low maintenance episode for me. Hopefully I'll be back with our regular programming next week, as long as I can finish my draft in time. If not, it may have to be the same deal again next week. But I definitely know that on the 23rd of June, we have an extremely special episode coming up. So please tune in that day for sure. And what else? Now, if you would like to send me an email and demand some slightly more enthralling content, or indeed to talk about whether you think that Paul Hardcastle's 19 was truly a protest song, you can email me at malinhay85@gmail.com. And if you want to listen to a playlist either of this music or this music plus all the music that I rejected for the episode that has some relationship with the 9th of June, you can follow me on Spotify at Malin_Hay and find a playlist called OTD 9 June. You can also follow me on Instagram, although I will not be active there for the next couple of weeks, simply for the preservation of my own sanity. But you can usually find me there pretty actively polling and trolling. And if you want a good documentary about Vietnam War songs, watch the Seinfeld episode, The Marine Biologist, because it's great and it has a lot of relevance to the war. If you enjoy the show, please tell everyone you know about it. Spread the word, tell everybody, just have a great time sharing the show. You can listen to it together. Now that things are opening up again, you can even go round to their house and listen to it and not just be jealous that you can be in somebody else's house while I'm stuck in my room with suspected COVID. And lastly, thanks to Midwave Radio for hosting me. Thanks to everybody who tuned in. And as usual, thank you to Wikipedia. So I'm now going to finish by playing the song that I teased earlier, which is Doctor and the Medic's cover of Spirit in the Sky, which actually is funny because I mentioned last week that the actor who played Garth from the Wayne's World franchise had his birthday on the 2nd of June, and this song features, as everybody will know, I'm sure, in Wayne's World 2. And if you're in need of some entertainment, on the other hand, to the people who are in need of depression and going to look at Jackie Wilson's death, you can look at a picture of Doctor and the Medics, a band. They are incredibly weird looking, and the eponymous Doctor, the lead singer of the band, is especially strange looking. In an intentional way, so I'm not trying to just like make fun of their appearances or anything, but they kind of like cultivated a very unusual look for their band. So here we go, Doctor and the Medics, Spirit in the Sky. Thank you very much, everybody, and have a lovely day.